What we read today was Jesus' last prayer before he died. Jesus sensed that his death was coming very near. His situation was getting worse and worse and more dangerous. This all happened because he raised Lazarus from the dead. After raising Lazarus, Jesus became very popular, and so many people followed him. And this wasn't good for Jesus. Jewish leaders were threatened by Jesus. Jesus' influence became bigger and bigger, and he became more powerful. And as he became more powerful, the leaders became more threatened. Jesus' popularity did not sit well with the leaders. It's beyond their control. So they decided to get rid of Jesus. And we see that in chapter 11. And in chapter 12, Mary poured her perfume on Jesus' feet to prepare for Jesus' death. And in chapter 13, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and said this: "Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." So death was all around. From chapter 11, it's continuously about Jesus' death. He could smell death in the air. Death was the inevitable reality Jesus had to face. Then, finally, in chapter 17, he was saying this last prayer before he died. And after Jesus prayed this prayer, Jesus was arrested. This is a beautiful prayer. Not just the content of what Jesus prayed, but the heart of Jesus. He was facing his own death. His death was imminent. He was facing his own critical moment. And yet, his thoughts were so focused on his disciples. He was talking about nothing else about himself. He was talking all about the disciples. Even the last moment before he died, all he was thinking about was the disciples and the well-being of the disciples. That's what's beautiful. Help them not to fall into the temptation of the world. Even though they may be hated by the world, strengthen them so that they may overcome the trouble they face. Help them, O God, so that they clearly understand that they belong to you, not to the world. Protect them from the evil ones. Sanctify them with your truth. So all about disciples. Nothing about himself. He only worried about his disciples, their well-being. Isn't that what love is? Isn't that what love is? If that is not love, what is love? If you love somebody, you think about that person before you think about yourself. That's what love is. Very simple. If you love somebody, you think about that person first before you think about yourself. That's what Jesus was doing in this prayer. He was facing his own death, but he was thinking about the disciples first before he was thinking about himself. That was what St. Paul said. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And he talked about the beautiful mind of Jesus Christ. Let your mind be like Jesus' mind. And he said, he described Jesus' mind in this way. He, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Empty oneself. That is love. Yes. Empty yourself. Unless you empty yourself, you cannot love. That is what love is. You empty yourself and leave space in your heart for others. If you're full of your own agendas, if you're full of your own thoughts and your wants and desires, you can never love anyone. If you do everything on your terms, then you can never love others. Everything is about you. We reflected on Jesus' love last week. His love was sacrificing himself for his friends. What we see into this Jesus' prayer is his love. That's what I see. That's why Simon said, instead of just reading the words, just feel what Jesus was saying. Even in the last moment, he was thinking about his friends, his disciples. That is what our parents did, and that is what our parents do. They always worry about their children. Are they doing okay? 밥은 잘 먹고 다니는지. That's Korean. So, are they eating properly? I mean, who doesn't eat these days? We have plenty of food, but they still ask, did you eat? All the time. Probably because of their past. When they grew up, they didn't have enough food to eat. So they still worry about whether their children are eating well or not. And we cannot just imagine parents who lost their children, who will ever understand their agony. You know, this one I couldn't say in a Korean service. Even here is that difficult. I cannot imagine how the young couple would cope with their pain. Many Vannon and Jar, who lost their parents and their child in Highway 401 crash in Whitby in the course of police chase. They're going on the wrong direction. And they lost their parents and their child. In their statement, they said this: his small toys and clothes remain spread around our home, and we have no courage in us to even enter our home, which is filled with only son's memories. My parents had arrived in Canada only 2 days before the tragedy. That's what they said. I don't know how they're going to survive. They survived the accident, but will they be able to survive? There's a Korean saying, when parents die, you bury them in the ground. But when your children die, you bury them in your heart. After a family gathering, my wife always worries about her children. Sometimes, you know, she said, are they all doing okay? They didn't look good. To me, they looked fine. Perfect, 100%. But she always, they didn't look good. Oh, Joshua said this, or Grace said that. But did they mean this or that? Constantly worry about her children. If there is any holiness in worries, it is mother's worries. Parents always think about their children before they think about themselves. That is the heart of parents. And that should be the heart of parents. So, you know, this Mother's Sunday, I hardly preach because I can't preach. Today, I came up with courage. So in the Korean service, I was fine until this Grayson. He started crying while he was leading praise, and then I could stop, and everybody cried. It's that hard. As I reflected last week, the first people babies encounter in their world are their parents. And the first experience they had in this world is love. Love from their parents. That's the first experience they have in this world and when they're born. Especially mother's love is very special. Mother's love makes us who we are. You know, in parents' heart, there is 응어리. That's a Korean word, 응어리. It literally means lump. It is an emotional lump, emotional baggage. It is the aching heart. When they see children, automatically their heart aches. When the children suffer, the parents suffer more. One day Joshua said, Daddy, Daddy, you gotta try this. This uni sushi, bibimbap is so good. You gotta go. So he took Yang Mei and me to a restaurant. So we had a wonderful dinner. It's very expensive. A wonderful lunch. And then as we came out, he was going back to his office. When I looked back, there's ache in me. He looked so, I don't know, sad. But he was fine, but to me, he looked so sad. And then I said to myself, is he all right in this very cruel, cold corporate world? Is he going to survive there? You know, that kind of feeling. Whenever parents see their children, we have ache, hurt. I still remember dropping Grace off in Boston. 10 hours driving back. We cried all the way. And then by the time we got to Toronto, we got both of look at yourself. Jesus showed very well the aching heart of parents by telling us the story of the prodigal son. The father was waiting and waiting for his son who took everything from him and wasted. And the elder brother was angry and did not join the party. The father had an aching heart even for the elder son too. If you have no love, there's nothing to worry. There will be no aching heart. But parents always worry. Jesus told us not to worry. But even Jesus cannot stop mother's worry. Even Jesus cannot stop parents' worry. It is an automatic thing. I would like to call that worry holy burden. Holy burden. Now we parents have to turn those worries into prayer. Even our children, we have to lead them in God's hands. As Jesus left his disciples in God's hands, we should leave our children in God's hands. I don't look that way right now because of Peter. Stop it. It's not just aging. When parents pray, it has the power. Why? Because it comes from love. I only have one page left. It comes from desperation. That's why it has power. That prayer has a power. I don't have much interaction with my father because he passed away when I was 18. And you know, in Korea, we don't have that kind of relationship with parents. Children play by ourselves and parents do their own thing. And also my father was very busy and I was a teenager. So when you're a teenager, you don't think about parents. You don't want to talk with parents. So I didn't have much relationship with my father. But my mother, you know, I started the immigrant life with my mother. She was my immigrant partner, including my brother. Three of us, we worked hard to survive in this harsh, hard immigrant life. My mother never told me to do this or that. She was always gentle, never told me anything about what I have to do. But through her quietness, I learned so much. I learned about Jesus' love, Jesus' gentle love. You don't have to be a parent to a parent's heart. Jesus' heart was parents' heart. As our parents loved us, let us love one another with parents' heart and appreciate your parents' love. Show them your appreciation. They deserve it.